Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, here we go.
There we go. Welcome to another Just to Talk to Sports with 12th Man. The month of May is just, again, it's flying by, and we are ready to talk some sports on a hump day Wednesday, just switching up a little bit. But, you know, we always want to get together, sip some wine, do some tea, drink some beer, whatever you want to do. Just cozy up and talk some amazing sports. Looks like, I don't know if we're going to get JQ on, which is cool. He may be hanging out with one of his buddies, which is totally fine. But we got West Coast. We got everyone represented here, as always. And so while we're waiting for the asparagus king, a.k.a. Rob, to get in the picture, we're going to jump into Gary. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good. On the road today trying to get back to Portland so I could do my show. We were over in Central Oregon, over in Sisters, and you know, the Cascade Mountains this time of year are just gorgeous. You know, real hot and sunny, but then the White Cap Mountains were just absolutely phenomenal. So we were over there for a few days after Mother's Day. We went over to Sisters and had a great time.
We always appreciate when you throw some pictures in the too. So any pictures that you have, you know, just let us know, because that's always amazing. Apparently, that sound, America, that you heard was Rob digging up some asparagus. And without further ado, I am going to turn it over to the Asparagus King, Rob Ford. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Feeling great, man. Just getting together a midnight snack here. That's just some asparagus for a midnight snack, man. So putting some on the stove right now as we speak. Doing great.
Good enough. A lot of words to say this. I did send a picture too, because we actually had asparagus as well. I know it's kind of crazy, but
that looks good.
Little quinoa
too.
Little Brussels sprouts, yeah, with the asparagus topping and some salmon, so it's a little healthy thing that we had too as well. So, you know, and it's funny because it wasn't really planned. I'm like, oh, you know, I figured that we get a kick out of it too. So it's always a pleasure, and we have fun with this. But one day, Rob is going to be sponsored by something asparagus. I just find an influence. It's just crazy how that plays out too. But we have some fun. I do want to give a quick happy birthday shout-out to one of my good friends. He listens to the show a lot, Tony Dayton. Happy birthday, Tony. Hopefully you are enjoying your day in Florida. He's actually in Florida, believe it or not, too. I know you're over there, Gary, but just a great, great friend of mine, and he loves listening to the show, too. So we got a lot of things to jump into. So let's get this party started. I'm going to throw out the numbers, as always. The number to call the show is what the fellows called in. Gary and Rob always call the same number, the 424-243-9519. I'm going to send a text to Naj, who can join as well. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, CATMAN Sports. And then last but not least, facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman. You will find us as well there. And that's where Rob posts a lot of stuff as far as mock drafts, and then posts the updates and show topics and all that stuff here as well. There we go. All right, let's party started. Let's kind of kick it off with the Buffalo Bills. And to happen for the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East And I'm going to say a quick thing. I'm going to say they got to run the damn ball. But that's the whole other conversation. But, you know, again, I'm going to turn it to you guys just to make sure. You know, I don't think the Bills should keep putting all that pressure on Josh Allen. They should definitely kind of balance out the offense a little bit more. That's Andre, but I don't know, Rob, you want to take that, and we'll pass it to Gary and kind of go from there too. So there you go.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the coffin. When you say run the football, that's what they have to do better. Josh Allen has been their best running back here the last few years. So in order for Buffalo, I mean, they got a lot of competitors in that division right now. You look at the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
You know, he may only be there for a couple years, but you know. When you look at the Miami Dolphins and how talented roster there is, you can never count out Bill Belichick. That all being said,
really? Wow, he doesn't have Tom Brady anymore.
They got to run the football, and they didn't really bring any real competition at the running back position. So going into the season, James Cook looks to be RB1, and Damian Harris looks to be RB2. But they did improve the offensive line. They drafted Osiris Torrance. I thought they got a good value on him, getting him in the second round. He's got potential to come in there and be a starter day one. They picked up Connor McGovern in free agency, so they could potentially have two new starting guards going into the season. So when you look at it, they have to run they have to improve their running game. They have to improve the offensive line. And another thing, they needed more weapons for Josh Allen. If you really look at it, Stephon Diggs has really been the only main weapon on offense. You may get a little bit out of Gabe Davis here and there, but not a lot. So they drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round, tight end, great pass-catching tight end from Utah. So that offensively, for this, I tell you, this was a Super Bowl contending team early last season. But going into the playoffs, this was really a flawed team last year, believe it or not. They couldn't run the ball. The offensive line was struggling, and they didn't have enough weapons on offense. So, you know, how did they fix it? They still got James Cook as the number one running back. They drafted Dalton Kincaid to hopefully get another weapon, and they went out and got two potential new offensive guards. So hopefully they'll fix those things. And on the defensive side of the ball, after Von Miller got hurt, they couldn't rush the passer. I mean, their pass rush was non-existent. So, I mean, Von Miller is getting up in age. How much more does he have left in the tank to contribute at a high level? But they expect him back at the start of the season. Other than that, overall defense, you know, Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, it's solid at the linebacker position, a pretty good depth at in the secondary. So if they can get a pass rush back, their defense could be pretty near top of the league again. If Von Miller is the old Von Miller. But those are the four things to me. Run the ball, need more explosive plays on offense, need to improve the offensive line, and need to improve the pass rush.
Well, I think if the topic was what can they do to compete for a championship to represent the AFC, I think all of those things absolutely come into play. But what I see is, I think this division here is, you know, with the emergence of Aaron Rodgers and, you know, with the Jets and Miami, I think it's a three-team. I think the winner of this division is probably going to win 10 games. I don't see him winning more than that. With that said, because I think Aaron Rodgers is good enough to beat each one of those teams, you know, maybe at home or, you know, whatever. I think they'll trade wins and losses between those three teams. But, you know, if he just plays to his potential, he's the best quarterback in the division, including Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, because he's younger, and Aaron Rodgers is with a new club, and we're going to see if Aaron Rodgers can take – he's been in Green Bay. It's a whole different ball game in New York. Now, let's say if they lose a few games – if Aaron Rodgers is as temperamental as he's been with that 150,000 area Green Bay area, let's see what he's going to do with New York media down his throat. So that remains to be seen. But I would say the first thing, you guys said running game, but I think the first thing is definitely, because they're a throw-first offense. I think pass protection. I think they did made some moves to better their pass protection. But then that third thing for me, you know, is his potential is the first thing, playing up to his potential. He didn't last year. Pass protection, and then absolutely the run game. But those three things, just like Rob's four things that he had listed, those are what's going to get him to be able to compete against, you know, Cincinnati and Kansas City and those teams that are vying for the AFC. But I think they are still the best team in the division, and I don't think I think they're the best team. I think he's the best quarterback in the division, and the Bills are the best team in that division.
Yeah, good stuff. Somebody's Agreed. Ears was itching because Naj has officially joined. So welcome, Naj, to the show, my guy.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up? Did you hear the first topic? You want to comment on that? Just what do the Buffalo Bills need to win the AFC East title again? That was kind of the question out the gate.
Yeah, I think you guys laid out everything that's there. The only things I would add is they also got unlucky. Like he talked about, you know, the injury to the pass rush and that just taking away everything.
Yeah, Von Miller.
The big boy, Von Miller. But the other part of the unluckiness was they had a snow game at home. So it's like you play for home field, you get home field, and you get a snow game that's actually not to your benefit because Cincinnati's a little more gritty than you are. Even though, you know, we kind of look at Buffalo as, or assume Buffalo is gritty, they're not really. They're more of a finesse team, and that's something that's going to have to change as far as that running game. They brought in the running back from New England as well to kind of split carries with James Cook. So I think that part is going to mean a lot. And I also think we'll see a lot of two tight end sets from them. Because when you bring in an athlete like that and you put him next to Dawson Knox, now we're talking. Now, Josh has got to get rid of some of the hero plays. That's the one part of his game that probably needs to be worked on, where sometimes, hey, man, there's no play to be made, Josh. Throw it away. But besides that, I'm with what everybody said on this, man.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, because it's interesting that you said that, too, because – I think the Bills are kind of battling kind of their demons in the past because, you know, obviously having that dynamic offense, Jim Kelly, even though they had a great running back in Thurman Thomas, right, you know, but, you know, it kind of goes back to they are up north and you want to think that, hey, run the ball, like you said. I mean, that's going to be the staple of that. That should be the staple of that team, you know, just kind of bring some balance. Because as Rob said, you can't have Josh Allen being your leading rusher. That's just not going to sustain you by any means, too. And he's going to keep taking those hits after a while. Dynamic talent, obviously. And Gary, you mentioned it, too. You think that he's the best quarterback in that division, too. Obviously, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and he's trying to go to the quiet place all the time, to a dark space. But, you know, you got to look at what's happening. I agree with you as far as with the Dolphins. I still think they have quarterback questions, too. So a couple things to talk about. I know that the Patriots picked up Malik Cunningham. It's interesting because, you know, him and Mac Jones and Bill Belichick are having challenges over there, too. So there's a whole lot of things that are happening in that division, too. So, you know, like you said, if the Bills, if you just, you know, keep it, you know, trying to run it back, add a couple things. Like you said, Rob, they got some offensive line help. They got Kincaid here, the tight end. You should be able to do that, but don't get too cocky. You know, don't like you said, be gritty. Let's make it happen. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the point Naj made, too, about the two tight end offense. That's going to be, you know, a staple with them with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. I mean, they're expecting big things from Dalton Kincaid. He probably might be their second-best pass catcher as a rookie next year after Stephon Diggs, too. So.
And can I add, can we get a FaceTime between Cam Newton and Josh Allen? Cam needs to reach out to Josh Allen. He needs to tell him, look, man, I understand what you're doing. I did it too, but you can't keep hunting out linebackers and safeties and taking these hits. Yes, most of the time you truck them, but eventually your body starts to break down. Like Cam needs to talk to that man because it's the same guy, man. It's the same guy.
Good stuff. Let's move on. Good points. So this is a really interesting topic. We're going to talk about some intriguing undrafted free agents in the NFC South. And Rob, since JQ's on here, I'll let you kind of tackle this too, because I think we may I'm definitely kind of biased to my team, so I know I kind of looked up some players too, but I want to hear your thoughts as far as some intriguing guys that you think for the NFC South.
All right, well, I'll save my Saints for last, so I'll start with your Falcons. The two players there was, I think that are intriguing for the Falcons. And, you know, you talk about undrafted free agents, but every year it seems like every team in the league, you know, hits a jackpot on a couple of these players that, you know, make the roster and have an impact in, you know, some shape or fashion. You know, I can only talk about my Saints here. We found Rashid Shaheed from Weber State,
Weber,
who's probably going to be one of our top three wide receivers this year, had a phenomenal rookie season from Weber State as an undrafted free agent last year. So really interesting. You only hear about Weber State maybe in the March Madness every 3 to 4 years, right? Yep, there you go. But two guys that I think the Falcons are going to be looking at is Ikonne Egbuchadze, edge rusher from Rice. 6'4", 269 pounds, the kind of player that Ryan Nielsen likes. These tall, lean defensive ends. He had four and a half sacks each of the last two seasons at Rice. So he's a project that in the Falcons still really is the one area they really hadn't solidified this offseason is to improve their edge rushing capabilities, right? So he's got a chance, maybe not to be an everyday starter, but maybe to be a guy that can add some depth, you know, and it's from an edge rushing perspective. Obviously, they drafted Zach Harrison in the third round, who's probably going to make the team, but they really haven't solidified an elite edge rusher. So both of these guys could probably make the team for some depth purposes from the edge rushing perspective. And the other guy for the Falcons out target is Justin Marshall, wide receiver from Buffalo.
That's my guy.
This is a guy that's actually from Conyers, Georgia. So he's from the Atlanta area. Went to Louisville, had to transfer to Buffalo. Didn't really get quite the playing time he was initially desiring when he went to Louisville. But last year had a really breakout season in Buffalo, 64 catches, 9 touchdowns. He's got a lot of length. And so he's a guy that could be a sleeper also for making the Falcons team. So those are the two players I kind of highlighted for the Falcons. Tampa Bay, I have three players. Chris Elian, the safety from Rutgers. He's only 5'8", and that's probably why he didn't get drafted from the safety perspective. But, man, when you turn on the film, this guy can play. He runs a 4.4240. He's got a 41-inch vertical jump. Tremendous athlete. So, just the 5'8 aspect, I think, scared some teams away from drafting them, but Tampa Bay is going to give them a shot. And
what's
Tampa
he weigh?
I think it's somewhere around 175 to 180. He's small. He's small. But Tampa needs some depth at the safety position. So, you know, we'll see what happens for him. And then two other guys for Tampa that I had as like mid-round draft choices, and they went undrafted. Rakeem Jarrett, wide receiver from Maryland. You guys probably heard me mention his name a time of 10 on the show, right? He ran about a 4.55, but he's got good size and good hands. So he's a guy that could probably add some depth at the wide receiver position. But another guy at running back position, and I'm going to go out on a limb, and pretty confident that he's going to make the team. Sean Tucker, running back from Syracuse. Guy ran track at Syracuse, 4.33 40, got good explosiveness, can catch the ball out of the backfield. The guy I was surprised that didn't get drafted as well. I had him somewhere in the fourth and fifth round. Obviously, they let Leonard Fournette go, and they go on with the running back from Arizona State full-time now. So Sean Tucker is a guy that could definitely add some depth to him. Two guys I have from Carolina, Ifu Liata, outside linebacker / edge rusher from Auburn. Had a heck of a year last year. He had 7 sacks before missing the last 7 games with an injury. 6'3", 252 pounds. He's got some quickness. Obviously, he's coming off, you know, a pretty major injury, but he was off to an incredible start prior to missing these last 7 games. And Rajon Wright, Gary may have heard his name, cornerback from Oregon State, 6 feet one, 193 pounds. He only ran a 4.5, so it's a little worrisome at the corner position, but he's got good length. He's got good tape as well. So he's a guy that could possibly add, both these players could add some depth and make the Carolina team. All right, I'm going to go to my beloved Saints here. And what do you know? The Saints got some undrafted free agent. One of them named Shaq and one of them named is Anthony Penny. So we got Anthony and we got Shaq as an undrafted free agent. I'll start with Shaq, whose real name is Shaquan, that goes by Shaq. Shaq Davis, wide receiver from South Carolina State, 6'4", ran a 4.5 140, 11 touchdowns, caught a lot of deep passes in South Carolina State, playing in the MEAC conference. Obviously, the level of competition was a concern, and that's why he went undrafted. The Saints still have some question marks at the wide receiver position, so they brought in a lot of guys and hopeful that they can find five or six of them that can stick. Mark Evans, offensive guard from Arkansas Pine Bluff, the same school where the Saints found Terron Armstead from. He was one of the highest, got one of the highest undrafted rookie salaries in the league. I think there was only one other player that had, got more money than him as an undrafted free agent in this draft. So obviously the Saints think he's a guy that's got great potential of sticking on a roster for some depth. And then the last guy, Anthony Orgy, a linebacker from Vanderbilt. He's another guy. I'm very surprised that he's
right, drafted. Gary? Did I hear that correctly?
Damn, so, y'all stupid.
Go ahead, Rob.
That's Dre. But he's a guy I definitely thought would get drafted somewhere in the fourth and fifth round. Had over 200 tackles in his last 2 years, 20 and a half tackles for loss, 6'1", 230, and check this out for a linebacker. He ran a 4.53 40. So he was about the only bright spot on the Vanderbilt team. And probably the weakest position on the Saints roster right now is linebacker depth. They're solid starting linebackers, but they need some depth at the linebacker position. So here's a guy I'll go out on a limb, and I think he's going to make the Saints roster as an undrafted free agent. So that kind of highlights the undrafted free agents in the NFC South.
That's pretty good, Rob. I'm going to let everyone else talk, but I'm going to get my little two cents in here. You forgot the linebacker from LSU, Mike Jones. Man, come on, man. Who? Mike Jones. He got signed as an undrafted free agent. And then I do like, on a serious note, I do like Justin Marshall because that dude, 6'3", 210 with a 4, what is he running, 4.440? That dude's amazing. Yep. And then Xavier Malone from Henderson State. This dude is like 5'8", 5'7", just like a spark plug, but he ran like a 4.35, like just a crazy, like, speed, man. So, I mean, he only didn't get drafted because he's like 5'8", you know, something like that, too, but just a speed demon, too. So those are the only guys I wanted to highlight, too. But I agree with you as far as Justin Marshall, man. That's going to be interesting to see if he makes the squad, man, because that really big receiver that runs fast, you know, so.
And a little bit about Mike Jones. I think his best contribution, if he does stick with the Falcons, will be on special teams. You know, he started his career at Clemson. He finished his career at LSU. Not a lot of production from him as an actual linebacker on the field, but he did contribute a little bit from a special team perspective. That's why I didn't really, you know, highlight him a whole lot. But if he does, I think he could probably have an impact on special teams. But you need those kind of players on your team, too.
I just want to say Mike
Jones. Well, I got to say I'm rooting for Orgy all the way.
Mike Jones.
I hope he makes the squad.
Anthony Penny or
I can't. Oh my goodness gracious! Is there anything else to add, Naj, DQ? Do you want to add to that, or no?
No.
Gotcha.
Just, you know, when you're a depth guy like that, you're gonna have to play special teams. So hopefully, all these guys understand that. Let's get it.
That was perfect. We're going to switch gears here, and let's talk a little bit about Davante Adams and the Raiders are not seeing eye to eye. So We can't wait to talk about that. You know, what's going on with this, Rob?
Well, I think he's making a play to come join the Saints and Derek Carr. So, you know, he's making a play to get traded, and Saints got the cap space to acquire him. So we're just waiting for him to demand a trade so he can join Derek Carr Saints. So come on, Devin Vontae, we'll take you, man.
Man,
in all seriousness, in this situation, Devontae is really not hitting it off with Josh McDaniels, and doesn't really agree with, you know, the offensive philosophy. I guess similar to Derek Carr, and the reason why he won out of Las Vegas. So it just seems as though they just didn't mesh very well with Josh McDaniels. And it wouldn't surprise me at some point that he does actually trade out of there if Josh McDaniels is still there. You know, I'm kind of being facetious and wishful thinking that he joins the Saints. But, you know, in all honesty, he's just not hitting it off. And you saw that offense last year. I mean, they were just not well in sync. They were not well in sync with the head coach. Devontae Adams still had a very solid year last year. But they were just not in sync with Josh McDaniels and his overall vision for their offense.
Go ahead, JQ. I'll look at it and I say, outside of the years he had Randy Moss, he's not used to really having a number one like that, to where you game plan, you say, hey, you know, Josh McDaniels, you know, matches for some reason on offensive team. But he's not trying to hold it to one player in Devontae Adams, you know, stature, in my opinion, because of the way they came up in New England. Like, he had this block receiver. What they did their offense, they spread the ball around it, and they threw the ball a lot to the back. So having Devontae Adams kind of go with the kids, but he only has some fan, but Randy Moss is getting the ball. But I don't think he, you know, holds Devontae Adams in that kind of regard. So when you're used to having an offense where we're spreading it around and we're not relying on having a number one wide receiver be that guy, that's going to mess with Devontae Adams if you don't adjust your offense and say, hey, that's all well and good to do when you don't have a number one. But, hey, bro, hey, man, hey, I'm Devontae Adams, and I'm on your roster. So playing yourself accordingly. So I can see that running ahead just because of what he's used to doing in New England and his offense, and he's probably just bringing that same kind of philosophy, and it's not working well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't come with the same juice.
Yeah. You're right, Garrett.
You know. He's not Bill Belichick, so it doesn't come with the same juice. So.
I'll say the same
thing. You know, he'll probably be with the Raiders. You know, I don't think they'll trade him.
What were you saying about the cap space and the Saints? I know you remain making some comments about that.
No, man, look. We all know.
You know how New Orleans is.
Have a magical cap, salary cap. So him saying they got cap space, I can't take it from y'all, man. Y'all been doing that to us for too long, man. It needs to be penalties. But anyway, moving on to the
game. We got $16 million in cap space, too.
Man, I don't know how y'all doing this.
Listen, I know how it's going. Cam Jordan's gonna have a minority stake in the Saints before it's said and done with. They keep restructuring his contract. He's gonna own the goddamn Saints.
That's funny. Yeah, they do. I agree with Nas. He's like, where did you get money from? What the hell? How y'all be having money? Y'all would be struggling. Boom. How the hell y'all find this Joker? Maybe y'all be doing that.
Again, they do it every year.
Voodoo.
But to the Raiders' point, though, we all got to remember Mike Davis doesn't have it like that, man. He can't get rid of a
That's
coach
right.
in the early stages of a contract. He can't get rid of Devontae in the early stages of a contract unless another team is willing to eat a lot of that money and figure out some way to make it fiscally sound for him, because ultimately, man, that dude out there basically – He's running the NFL franchise on a title line. You know what I'm saying? Like, Buddy just ain't got it. So,
come on, man. Not on the title line.
This is going to be interesting.
Mickey Newman and Kai Harley, they'll figure it out. They'll get him in the cap.
Oh, my God.
They'll be spending money.
Well, he needs to hire y'all brain trust. That's what he needs to do. He needs to hire y'all brain trust. Y'all figure the way around everything.
He said he was running on a title wall, man. You are stupid as hell.
Your man ain't got that brain like that, man.
They need to get the same guys to handle the really the government budget, because they figure out some shit right there. That's like, hey man, we trolls dogs. Hey, we figure this out. We'll figure out a way to get everything under cap. That's nuts.
Yeah.
When you got your own printing press, you can do that. Until Mike Davis start printing Raider Bucks, he in trouble.
Right. Hey, anything else you want to add to that, Gary?
No, I'm good.
We're going to let Rob do his kind of recap of the 2020 draft. And, Gary, stay tuned, because we're going to get you going for these early week 1 predictions here. We're going to kind of get your thoughts right out the gate, too. I can't wait to hear your thoughts about the Cowboys going to see the Giants. But, Rob, go ahead and do your 2020 recap, if you were talking about for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on 7 teams drafts in 2020. I'm going to touch on 3 teams. First start off with JQ's Bengals. You know, initially, myself and most draft prognosticators gave the Bengals a B in the 2020 draft. But when you go back and look at that draft, you got to give them an A, man. Of course, Joe Burrow was a no-brainer. You know, some people had some questions on T. Higgins in the second round, and he turned out to justify that draft pick. And then, of course, Logan Wilson in the third round has also been a really good pick as well. And then when you look at all 3 of those guys are starters already, and then when you look at the rest of that draft, they're all guys just contributing. Akeem Davis, Gaithersburg, Akeem, Dennegy from Kansas, Marcus Bailey. So when you go back and look at that draft, you got to give Cincinnati an A for that draft. Another team that was kind of in the B or C-plus range was the Colts. The coach traded their first-round pick for DeForest Buckner that year from the 49ers. But if you look at the Colts, got Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor in the second round in that draft. Two guys have been major impacts from that team. And then Julian Blackman, who's been a very good safety, they got him in the third round. So 3 starters off the bat. And then their starting center, Isaiah Rogers, they got him in the 6th round in that draft. So very good and quality backup offensive guard and Danny Pinter in the 5th round too. So they're another team. If you go back and regrade them, you got to give them an A for that draft in 2020. Another team you got to go back and give an A, who was graded lower than an A, was the Chargers. Justin Herbert, of course, was a no-brainer. But the other one, Kenneth Murray. A lot of people thought they were crazy for trading back in the 1st round and drafting Kenneth Murray, but he's turning out to be a borderline Pro Bowler at the linebacker position for the Chargers. So you got to go back and give them an A for their draft as well. And here's some teams that were graded pretty highly that now you got to go back and either give them a D or an F. And I'll start with the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously, you got Henry Ruggs, who's out of the league, Damon Arnett, who's out of the league. And this is a Mike Mayock draft too, right? And so, so he's out of the league too, right? So, and the only player that's left on their team from the 2020 draft is a 4th round cornerback, Amik Robertson, who's a backup corner at that. So this is a team that had 7 draft picks in that draft, and only one of the players from 2020, which is only 3 years ago, they're still on their roster and he's a backup corner in the 4th round. So, horrible draft.
Clemson and the defensive end, was he in that same draft with them? Clinton Farrell?
I think he was the year before. No, he wasn't in that draft. This 2020, he had 2 first round picks, and it was Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett.
Okay, it was Henry. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And hey, I'm going to be objective here. I got to go back and give my Saints a D, too, when you look at it. Cesar Ruiz, Zach Baum, linebacker from Wisconsin, has not lived up to the billing. Adam Trautman, tight end, who Sean Payton loved. The Saints just traded him and got rid of him and got an extra draft pick from him. Cesar Ruiz probably had his best year last year as offensive guard, but the Saints didn't pick up his 50 option. Very limited impact. Cesar Ruiz, Zach Baum is only playing on special teams for the Saints. And you draft a guy in the 3rd round, you expected him to be a starter by now. So I go back and give the Saints a D for that draft, too. The Jets, Mackie Beckton, hasn't been able to stay healthy and stay on the field. And they drafted him ahead of Tristan Wirfs from Tampa. And Tristan Wirfs has been a Pro Bowler practically every year since he's been in the league. So you got to go back. And then listen to some of these other names that the Jets drafted, hardly given any impact. Denzel Mims, Ashton Davis. Not Breece Hall, but Bryce Hall hasn't been doing anything for him in the secondary as well. So you got to go back and knock him down a few spots. And the Tennessee Titans, another one. Out of seven picks, only one of those picks is a starter right now. It's Christian Fulton, the second-round pick from LSU. So those four teams, they're somewhere in the D and the F from the draft. And those first three teams, the Bengals, Colts, and the Chargers, I bumped them up to an A.
Hey, now, I like to hear that. Yeah, that was a great draft number. They got to pay that deal now, though, boy. You got to re-sign all them jokers in the same year.
Yeah, hey, it can be done, man. You talk to Mickey Loomis and Ty Harley.
It can be done. It's just taking a long time to think. It's making me nervous as hell.
Yeah, that was good that you saw that too, Rob. I was going to say just in our draft for the Falcons, they had us originally at a B-minus, and now they gave us a new grade to C, actually like a C+. We had the only, you know, the pick we had A.J. Terrell, which was, you know, obviously he's improving out that pick worked out. Second round was like Marlon Davidson, you know, he was released. Matt Hennessy still on the team, you know, we're still kind of thinking about him. Mikael Walker, linebacker. Jalen Hawkins is still on the roster. And then we ended up drafting Sterling Hopper or some punter that didn't do anything. So, you know, he's not with the team as well. So it's interesting how you go back and kind of see what's happening with your squad, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, this is why, as you say, 3 years you can see – you have to grade a draft 3 years down the road to see the impact that you have, too, for sure. So really good stuff to kind of go back and see kind of hindsight of 2020 on that, for sure.
Yeah, the Bengals get a lot of bad grades sometimes, or people get upset with them, but they are drafting for the future. And I give them credit for right now, the run they're on. They're drafting for a year out for free agency. So when they did that, they got Gaither and Logan Wilson. They still had in the middle, they had two linebackers. They were both in the free agency, and they drafted their replacements, and they didn't play right away. So I agree with you, Rob. You got to give it a couple of years to really figure out, you know, the value of that draft.
Yeah. And the Cowboys did good. They got CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs in the second, you know, obviously. So they got CeeDee Lamb in the first and Trayvon Diggs in the second. And they got your center in the fourth round, too. So that was, if you're a Cowboys fan, you should be happy about that draft. For sure in 2020. Mm-hmm. So just a little highlight for you, Gary, if you will. So showing you some love out there as well. All right. Yeah, man, there's no Cooper Rush in there, but it's all good. Hey, so we are moving right along. You know, anything to show some love for Cooper Rush is what it's all about. Let's kind of talk about some early NFL week one predictions here. And Gary, I'm going to let you get your shine here. So, we got the Cowboys starting out with the Giants, and obviously, you know,
is that the Sunday night game?
This should be a win for you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is. I got to check the schedule, but I know
it kind of
kicked off with that too.
It's a Sunday night game.
So you know, obviously getting Saquon back, and you know, but right now you're gonna get a puffed up white Mike Vick here with Daniel Jones, but the Cowboys
should
handle business. They should have.
Don't you were supposed to respect the Michael Vick name. Don't you ever do
well,
that?
Well, this is what I would do if I were the Cowboys. The first thing I would do is as Curtis would say, McCartney does the play calling, then he better have somebody on his shirt saying, "Hey, it's time to call a timeout," because as a head coach with a offensive coordinator that did the play calling in the last several years, there were times when he couldn't even figure out when to call a timeout. So, you know, he did an okay job, and then he got into some issues in Green Bay. We'll see if he's got a second chance. This is first game of the season. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to pick the Cowboys. But like I told you before, you know, those I hate like hell to have to start with with a NFC East opponent. I hate that right off the bat. I don't want to. That's the one thing when I'm looking at these schedules, I'm hoping we're anybody else. I don't care who it is, because they don't play you every, you know, even especially Cincinnati has been great. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding with you. I am picking the Cowboys in this game as no surprise, just because I think they're just a better team right now than New York.
No, I'm picking Cowboys too, but I'll say I was raising my hand because I agree with you. They started us at, like, how does freaking Kansas City get Detroit to start? But we got to start at Cleveland, and then we got to play Baltimore week two. So I was like, really? Good. So I put us two division games right out the gate back to back? Okay, NFL. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, and I don't fucking like it. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one, but I'm still going to go with the Cowboys. I'm not a fan of Daniel Jones, but to start us off with two division games, it's pretty nasty.
I don't like it.
Me neither.
Nas, what you got, Nas? Here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that Detroit thing, that's not a gimme anymore, man. This is the new Lions, so I can't say that's the easy game.
They're going to beat the Lions by at least 10 points in week one. Stop it. Okay.
Look at that roster. Look how physical they play. That's not an easy one. But as far as the New York-Dallas game, I'm kind of already, I'm cash bought in on the Cowboys and Dak. Everybody's down on them, so I've been drafting them real late in these fantasy drafts because nobody wants them, and I'm expecting a big surprise from these Cowboys. So the Giants don't beat themselves, as we saw last year, that terrible, boring team that got to the playoffs. So it should be a tough one, but, man, things are real sketchy with them, man, because if Saquon doesn't go 1,500, really, what are they doing? Let's go with these Cowboys, man.
Hey, you having fantasy drafts already?
I was gonna say that.
I try to tell y'all to get on Underdog, man. Y'all need to get on it. Best ball season long fantasy drafts are already doing them, and it's going down, man. A lot of money in there. Get in it,
man. I gotta make sure everybody be healthy first. You be pissed off first round pick you hurt in training camp. You done.
Oh, that's the point.
Yeah. I think this is actually going to be a real competitive game. I kind of lean toward the Cowboys winning on the road, too, maybe by a field goal. I think this is a real competitive game. I think when you look at the Giants, for me, there's still some question marks at the wide receiver position. They did go out and get Darren Waller, though. So if he's healthy, that gives them a pretty good weapon on the offensive side of the football. They made some nice additions to the offensive line. They drafted John Michael Schmitz at the center position. And, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau should be hitting his stride as an edge rusher. And so I think it's going to be a competitive football game, but I think the Cowboys are going to roll and win by a field goal, 24-21.
Good one. We've got another interesting matchup, and I think we talked about earlier, we were talking about the AFC East. We got the Dolphins at the Chargers. So, you know, again, interesting matchup here. And what say you about this, Gary? You're going to start us off again for this one, my guy.
Well, with the Chargers at home, I give them the advantage only because Dolphins on the road traveling across the country, that whole scenario, and not knowing what they've got at quarterback and how well that's going to pan out, if he's going to do anything. I think that the Chargers at home, I don't think any of these teams are going to score a lot. I think it's going to be 24-17 Chargers.
They keep shaking
their head. The Dolphins going to score a lot. I'm going with the Dolphins. Tua's heard all the shit we talked about. He has that all offseason to get right. Then you're going to get that fool Jalen Ramsey, who's going to be definitely looking to show out in that first game. I don't know, bro. And the last time I saw the Chargers, they were choking up that lead in the playoff game and letting Jacksonville come all the way back to beat them. Do they have any hangover? We'll find out. But I think Miami's out here trying to prove a point to the Buffalo Bills in this first game. Like, hey, bro, hey, this ain't y'all division no more. I'm rolling with the Dolphins.
I like what the Dolphins did with Vic Fangio too. Yeah, good, Rob. But I'm just saying I like to pick up with that too. And running games always travel too. Go ahead, Rob.
I like Mike McDaniel as a head coach. I really do. I think he's got a lot of potential as a head coach. I like his motivating style. I'm going to pick the Chargers on this one, though. I know it's traveling cross country, week one of the season. Justin Herbert got a better quarterback. We're assuming that Austin Eckler is going to be there. I like a lot of the additions that the Chargers have made on both sides of the football. At some point, they got to start living up to the billing as well. So I like the Chargers in a tight game, but I do like Mike McDaniel, the head coach. If they can keep Tua healthy, I think they could be a real sleeper in the AFC.
Yeah, I think I'm going to side with the Dolphins on this. I like their weapons. The rookie running back they got, that's even more speed to add to Mostert. And, of course, you know, you got Tariq and Smith. I'll put it like this. Mike McDaniel is similar to Shanahan. And one thing about them is, if Tua gets another concussion and is not playing, they can win with Mike White. That Shanahan and Mike McDaniel have this idea that if they have a quarterback that will do exactly what they say as far as going through the progressions in the way that they want and not playing outside of scheme, that their scheme is good enough to be productive. And I think we'll possibly see that. Because remember, this thing with Tua is not – this ain't no he hurt his knee. This dude banged his head a lot, and when he gets tackled, it looks like a cartoon character, like he gets ragdolled. So the possibility of him not playing and Mike White playing, I think are really high. And if you get that, you're going to get that 1-2-3 boom. We saw Shanahan do that last year with the boy, the young Brock Purdy. And I think McDaniel could do that with Mike White. We saw what he could do, you know, for the Jets. So, and the Chargers, I just don't trust them, man. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
And I do not trust the Chargers.
Tua better be careful with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa coming to town, too. You don't want them out going out week one.
Right.
Well.
But you also don't want coming back and Joey Bosa pulling the hamstring in week one and being out for 3 weeks. I can do that shit, too. Sorry.
That's true.
Just saying.
Yeah, you're good. I would say the fact that, you know, again, to how do you protect a quarterback as you run the ball, and that's what the Dolphins will do. They will run the ball. You know, as Naj mentioned too, you know, Mike White was a sneaky good signing because I know the Jets really, you know, they were still like, man, who the hell? He actually played, you know, better towards the end of the year. Obviously, anyone could be better than Zach Wilson, but just I like that signing for the Dolphins because, you know, they're still a quarterback, you know, like, hey, they need one solid quarterback to make those reads, man. So we don't know the jury's still out on Tua, if you will. So good setup. Let's finish it up with
Anybody's
favorite team here.
Know who the Chargers' backup quarterback is?
Damn, I was going to look it up.
No, who is
it? I don't.
I'll cheat, Andre.
It's not Andy Dalton, is it?
Andy Dalton's in Carolina.
Easton Stick. Who the Sam Hill is that?
Who?
Listen, they said we gotta pay Herbert in a second. We gotta pay Khalil Mack. We gotta pay Joey Bosa. We gonna let Rob be our backup quarterback. They don't care.
Easton Stick. Man, if Justin Herbert gets hurt, they are screwed. They're just done.
They was done Easton anyway. Wow. When Justin Herbert got hurt.
Now, they did tell Easton Stick from TCU, but still, they're done.
Damn,
don't go in that trading room. They'll stab you with a needle.
No, come on, Tyrod. Here we go. Man, it is Easton Stick. Damn, that's crazy. That's the back to quarterback. That's a trivia question right there. No one would have guessed that one. Damn, I thought Chase Daniel or something like that.
Money.
Damn. Damn.
I told you, the Fails family is going through, like, I think they're going through a divorce or something crazy like that. So they're trying to save the money where they can. They are. So they got, and you got to pay Mac and Bosa and Herbert coming up. They said, we're going to skip this money where we can. So that's why you got him as a backup quarterback. Because he didn't cost nothing.
That's crazy.
All right, let's start with the last prediction. Again, we'll start kind of about, we're kind of the same thing. We'll start with Gary. I was going to say JT's favorite team, but yeah, the 49ers traveling cross country to play the Steelers. And I know, like, we know that Gary hates the 49ers too. But it's all good, man.
Me
so,
fucking too.
Let's see you for this particular.
Yes, I do hate.
Hell
yes.
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's put that on record. Yes, I hate the 49ers. You know, 49ers, you know, in every aspect are a better team. You know, they're a better offensive team. They got a better, they got better offensive and defensive lines. They're way better defensive teams.
Hargrave.
Better special teams. And because I hate them so much, I'm going with Pittsburgh in this one. They're not going, Pittsburgh's not going to win, but I pray that this is a week one loss for the 49ers.
Chris Miracle.
Sorry, JK, but I want the Steelers to win this game.
And Darnold might be starting week one for the 49ers.
Man, that's a loss, dude.
That's a real possibility.
Go ahead, JK.
All right.
I'm going to go with a 13-13 tie. I'm not picking either one of these bitches. So I'm going to let y'all have it. No, I'm not. I'm going to pick a tie. First time ever, I'm going to pick a 13-13 tie because I'm not going on record with my voice coming on this podcast with me picking San Francisco or Pittsburgh. Damn this game. They can black it out. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. That'll be fucked up. But I know I'm not picking this game. I'm tie.
Well, I'm going to go with the 49ers on the road in this one. Just as Gary mentioned, I think overall they have a better roster. And just as Naj mentioned earlier, Shanahan seems to be able to win with just about any quarterback. So even if Sam Darnold is the quarterback week one, I think the 49ers will go on the road. Yeah, yeah. But I think it's going to be a rather low-scoring game because both of these teams have some really good defenses. So right along point with JQ was saying, I'm going to go 19-13, 49ers on the road in this one.
I hope they play 60. I hope they play
75. I don't like the 49ers either. Just so you all know, I don't like the 49ers either. So I love the Steelers to win it.
I'm thinking the same as you. And sadly, because, like you said, Sam Darnold is going to be probably starting. But, again, 1-2-3 throw, 1-2-3 throw. You don't think for yourself. You do exactly what you're told. That's how you keep that job, buddy. So give me 17-6, San Fran over Pittsburgh, and the Pittsburgh fans start the calls to get Kenny Pickett the hell up out of there and draft a quarterback next year. I'm really down on that guy. I'm really down on Pickett. I don't think he's the guy.
I hope you're right, but I still hope it's a 13-13 tie. Well, you know what? I ain't going to say that. I hope San Francisco wins because I need them not to have a tie. I need them to have a loss. So I'm going to go 16-13 with a bullshit field goal at the end.
Off the upright and bounces there.
We got JQ picking the 49ers. We got it on tape. Today is May the 17th, 2023. I'm going to jot this down. We got JQ picking the 49ers.
You need me to go get a newspaper? Is it a proof of life?
Proof of life, for sure, man.
And just think about that game. CMC, 25 carries. Debo, 7 carries. Like, hey, man, there's ways of not throwing that ball. The 49ers love not to do it. So, easy work, man.
2-3 throw. 1-2-3 throw. 1-2-3 throw.
Wow.
Five throws a game. There it is. There it is. We're wrapping up the show. We got about 7 minutes here. I'm going to throw this out to you guys. Any topics you want to kind of hit on, it's up to you guys. Whenever me and Gary joined, we were talking about the Spurs got the number one pick, you know, obviously. So just interesting, you know. Yeah, right. The fuckers have had it for 3 years in a row. I'm just commenting. Damn it! I'm just saying.
Man, they get Tim Duncan and Dan Robinson. They get another big guy.
I know.
Bullshit.
I know. You think I'm pissed? You think I'm happy about this shit? I'm distraught, man. I was telling Gary didn't care. The last time the Hawks had number one pick was in 1975. We had shit for years. Fucking bullshit. But
damn.
Again, I'm just
saying.
Man, when they did the Final Four teams for Houston, Portland, Charlotte and San Antonio, I was like, man, please be Charlotte. Go to the East. I was like, please be Charlotte. Go to the Eastern Conference.
They said, no,
Mike.
Oh, hell no. You ain't getting number one pick. Mike, if he'd have kept the team, Slick and have take pictures of him next to Mike, they would have got the number one pick. But Mike said he was selling the team. They said, no, we're not sending him to Charlotte. I might be in charge.
I know we were
texting back and forth about him leaving Paris to go to San Antonio, but it comes to find out, you know, all of Paris and you know, the whole nation of France was hoping he went to San Antonio because of the Tony Parker connection. So most of France are Spurs fans because of Tony Parker. So the whole country is actually happy he's going to San Antonio. And so is
you don't want to be following Tony Parker. You be out there knocking off your teammates' wives and shit. Don't do that. Don't let Tony Parker get next to that dude.
Oh, wow. Hey, one of the dirtiest Macs of all time, Tony Parker. That's a dirty Mac for you right there, man.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
His prayers from Brent Baer. But no,
what
are
you going to say,
Doc? Public service announcement, man. The NBA does not rig the draft. You can go to YouTube and watch the draft lottery. I know people don't know this, but if you go to YouTube, you can actually watch it. It's really boring. It's just a regular – it looks like a bingo hall. It's just bingo. That's all it is. The ball's going up. And if they were to rig it, I promise you it would be to major market teams. It would not
it would be Chicago.
San Antonio. Exactly. It would not be to those San Antonio Spurs. And then remember this point always. If the thing was rigged, what billionaire you know going to sit down and shut up? You telling me Mark Cuban with that number 10 pick is going, oh, okay, I guess it's their turn. They get, man, Mark Cuban would raise holy hell. Adam Silver would be out of a job. Like, billionaires don't play like that, man. They didn't put up money like they did for those teams in order for the league to dictate to them how it goes, man. It's a legit
lottery. No, man, this is
– and.
Chicago is the biggest market available in the lottery.
This is why you don't win. Because the odds
this
are
crazy. Chicago is the biggest market. It would have been Chicago.
This is 3D chess, y'all. This is 3D chess. That's obvious. If you are also an owner and you look at it and say, guess what? New York, L.A., Chicago, Miami, Houston, all those big ones, they're going to make their money because they're a big market. How do we keep also the other teams viable in these smaller markets so we can justify having these players and you guys having your teams and making that money? And when you shut the hell up about this, I'm going to find you this little piece here. We're going to make sure these couple of concerts get to your stadium. We're going to make sure Taylor Swift comes. We're going to make sure you get the CFP to come to your stadium. Man, there are levels to this shit that I don't think y'all understand.
Yeah, but
they get that money back to it. Chicago is always going to be all right.
And none of those benefits
it's always somebody.
People will go,
but here's the thing.
It ain't always that. This is a once every 20-year thing.
Yeah, but the thing about it is you can't franchise that dude. So if you send him to San Antonio and he decides for 4 years he don't want to be in San Antonio, he can be up. But you gave San Antonio a lot more pub than they would have gotten right now, being as sucky as they are, and you give it him, now you boost those ratings when Oklahoma City plays San Antonio. Chicago and L.A. and New York are always going to be okay. There's levels to this. There's levels to what they're doing. I guess I'm just a conspiracy theorist. I feel like that's
just
great.
You just described the
there's
worst
no
conspiracy ever to where they make the least amount of money.
No, you're going to make the money anyway. How many more motherfuckers still watch it in Chicago that's already not going to watch it? Or L.A. or New York. They watch it anyway. They watch Allen Houston. They watch Blake Griffin. Like, they're watching these things regardless if they have that guy or not. They're going to watch it anyway, bro. Facts.
Hey, San Antonio. Nah. Did y'all see anybody saw San Antonio play last year?
Yeah, they were terrible.
Barely.
That team when Charles Barkley would say was terrible. That team was off this past season.
On purpose.
And guess what? They sold out almost every single game this past season with that roster. And that was a trash roster. So they are a successful organization. That San Antonio and Austin area supports that team. You know, I lived in Austin for 2 years. They are crazy about the Spurs. That was a trash team last year. Every time
real
I
bad.
Saw them play, they lost about 30 or 40 points last year. The fans were still going to see that. You know, even
Spurs was like 19 and a half.
Yeah,
I said, man, how is Spurs 19 and a half? They're a whole NBA team.
They said, we're rebuilding. Right, we're trading DeJounte, we're rebuilding. But ultimately, man, if y'all believe Mark Cuban over there in Dallas, a few miles away, would be okay with what y'all talking about, man, I feel like we haven't watched the whole career of Mark Cuban. This man went to war with David Stern.
He was never getting the number one with
you
the
You think
you
don't listen to
pick,
Adam Silver or something like that?
He wasn't never get all the way to number one with the 10th pick odds. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob. You got to shut this down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Tuesday night on next week, Tuesday night on the East Coast, Boston, Miami, Eastern Conference Finals. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Central Time, San Antonio. We're talking about y'all. We know we love the Mexican food down there. I like it, too. But we're going
to
be on 10 p.m. Central Time in San Antonio on next week. Denver, the Nuggets. That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. West Coast, Los Angeles, Portland. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Time on Tuesday night on next week. Good night, people.
I'm sorry, Rick. He ruined it for me. Whenever I hear San Antonio, that's the first thing. I have to go with me down there in San Antonio. Charles Barkley has 100% ruined it for me whenever I hear San Antonio. So that's his fault. Y'all take it away.
I heard him say that.
He said all the time. He said all the time. Inside the NBA is one of the best shows on TV. He'd be letting the chicks of San Antonio have it. I knew about TV and said, I know why them chicks are so big. I had churros the other day. Woo! And they just started whooping them churros down. I said, Charles, you can't just keep
okay, JQ, I have a question for you. I have a question for you in the OT real quick. I want to hear you're saying seven. Give it to me.
I knew what I was saying when you said you had a question for me. Look, dumb mofos came out, Denver that is, and they made everything. I watched that game. I said, if they don't keep shooting like that, ain't nothing you can do. I'm not talking about the layups. I'm talking about end of the shot clock, turning around, throwing it up. I said, man, damn it, Jokic and Murray are going bananas. They came out, they hit them in the mouth. The Lakers played the same lineup they were played against Golden State. That's not going to work against them because they're too big. So they're going to have to sit D'Angelo Russell down. Has to. He's a turnstile. Bruce Brown made him look horrible in that first half yesterday. I mean, I think he had 13 points at halftime, and Jokic had like 12 rebounds in the first quarter. Darvin Ham. That lineup that you played against Golden State is not going to work against Denver. They make the adjustments. They didn't play badly. They was winning at 3 points within 2 minutes left when Denver had to be shooting about 56% from the floor. I mean, they made everything. If they shoot like that for four or five games, then the Lakers don't have a chance. Nobody has a chance against that. But you feel like there's going to be a regression to the mean where they're not going to be that hot as a unit. Everybody was making buckets from all over the floor. So I still feel like L.A. holds court.
With that said, do you think Anthony Davis is going to throw up 40 points and 10 rebounds a game in this series? Because I don't.
No, I don't. I think
Revis is going to average 23 points in this series.
I think it bounces down.
LeBron,
he
was almost
like
a triple-double. That's expected of him.
Yeah. My thing about that is I think you redistribute the scoring load, Anthony Davis 40, across other people. The problem I have with Anthony Davis is that he can't have 10 freaking rebounds in the whole game, and Jokic has 20-something. Anthony Davis has to have at least 15 rebounds, and average 15 rebounds in this series for them to be effective down low. 10 rebounds sounds great if you didn't watch the game and watch Jokic do that in the first quarter, right? So that's the part for Anthony Davis, that he has to get down there and get dirty and get some rebounds, get some boards, and stop giving up so many second and third shots.
That's not his game.
Part of that. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody's going to have to slap his ass in the forehead and say, hey, bro, that needs to be your game right now.
Well, he had 20 rebounds in game 6 against the Warriors.
There's a guy in Taiwan who they can really use, and that would be Dwight Howard, who they used last time against Joker.
And JaVale McGee.
You know, beat him up a little bit, foul him, frustrate him. Now, the best matchup they got so far from what we seen yesterday was Rui. Rui defended him well, and that started the comeback, and I think we'll see more of that. But on the Denver side, Aaron Gordon is not going to play much this series. They're giving him anything he wants in that short corner three. He wasn't effective. I don't know what they're going to do lineup-wise, but Aaron Gordon, I don't know, brother. Because they need a shooter over there to spread that court. Otherwise, it's going to get real tight in there.
I'm on the bench. Well, now I touched on it. I was going to say that. I love the adjustment that Darvin Ham made in the second half when they put Rua on it. And they was kind of had Anthony Davis roaming a little bit. Anytime Jokic went toward the rim, Davis was right there to meet him. So he had Davis kind of playing off of him a bit, and I thought that was a lot more effective on a defensive end. If you really look at Jokic's numbers in the second half, he was very quiet. I think he barely had 10 points in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the exact number in front of me. But he did not have the kind of scoring in the second half like he did in the first half. So that was a tremendous adjustment by Darvin Ham and his staff. And, you know, obviously I'm sure Denver and Michael Malone is going to make some adjustments going into game two. But if they can continue to be effective with that, then the Lakers still got a shot at this thing too, because, like I said, Jokic was really quiet in the second half. You know, Jamal Murray came up big for them. They were able to hold on in the end. But that defensive adjustment was huge for the Lakers, and that's how they were able to make a run in that game. Yeah, and Anthony Davis had 20 rebounds in game six against the Warriors. Obviously, the Warriors are a much smaller team. But Anthony Davis needs to have Moses Malone kind of rebound numbers in this series. Now, Moses Malone threw it up on the glass and got he missed on purpose just so he can pad his rebound stats. And, you know, but, you know.
Shout out to Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond.
That's funny.
They better not play fucking Andre Drummond. If they have to play Andre Drummond, things are going real bad.
Yeah, Dre did the same thing. He was padding stats in Detroit, got himself paid off a garbage rebound, and then he got up to contenders, and everybody said, oh, he's not good. But, I'm wondering what they're going to do with Mo Bamba, because they need another big body, dude. Like, AD is too thin to mess with Joker down there, and they need another big body just to bang with him, and I don't know where they get it. Mo Bamba's not good. I think we've seen that already.
Yeah, no, he ain't playing, bro. If you got to rely on Mo Bamba, you have already lost.
Right. That's
all song, man.
Barbecue chicken.
Great song, man.
So, Nas, who are you taking in this series?
We got to see what happens tomorrow, man, because Denver only did the hell serve at home. If LA gets the split, we got a tough series. But prepare for LeBron regression. I think a lot of people are expecting LeBron to be LeBron, but that dude is old. He can't do this game after game after game. You can expect, what, two?
I'm not expecting it this year. I'm expecting him to be playing LeBron-esque basketball in this series, because he knows he absolutely has to. Because without him getting close to that triple-double like that, like he's been doing throughout this whole playoffs, you know, keeping that team – together like he has.
I was saying you can taste it. Like, if you get bounced in the first or second round, you're like, okay. But once you make the Western Conference Finals and you're sitting there and everybody's talking about ghosts and trying to chase Jordan and he knows he's got to at least get to six, he's got to fill up his blows like, hey, man, we won the final four teams left. I could taste it. I can get to that fifth one this year. If not, you know, if that guarantees you get back to this point again, like you said, he's old. He's 38. So, you know, I feel like we're going to get more adventures with LeBron because he knows time is running short.
I agree with Nas to a certain extent here. If you're the Lakers, you got to be concerned here. You know, he is 30. I think he's the fourth oldest player in the NBA. I like LeBron when he has at least 72 hours of rest. When it's 48, you start to get a little concerned, right? And so you got to really manage his minutes. I don't know if y'all heard him at the interview after they beat the Warriors on Friday night. He said, "Oh, game one not till Tuesday." He said, "Great."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. At 38, absolutely. But I don't expect anything less than what we've had in these years.
He was like, "You're
I mean, AD is a different topic."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
To LeBron's credit, it's up there
for a minute.
Yeah. But to LeBron's credit, what he's doing at that age at 38 is insane. I mean, last night, what, he had 28 points, almost triple-double, 12 rebounds, I think 9 assists or something like that. It's crazy. And then that game six against the Warriors, over 30 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. You know, insane his performance. So if he can continue to play at that level, they just got to be smart with his minutes. But to his credit, he takes care of his body. And so I'm sure they're keeping him off his feet on these days off in between games.
Yeah, but Darvin can't tell him nothing because if he wants to, he's checking back in. So it's going to be tough for him in a minute. And ultimately, this is the Chris Paul protocol. LeBron is capable. He's capable of doing any dirty thing at this point because this, like y'all said, this dude is so close he can taste it. He might pull a foreign object out of his shorts. Like, dude, he will do anything at this point. So you can expect slide under dirty plays. You can expect that spin travel. Like, he will do whatever it takes. Like, we know that. But it's just, hey, man, Father
Time. They all spin travel. What are you talking about? He's not the only one that travels.
He got a special one because he takes about two extra steps. Dude, it is amazing that he got away with it a couple times.
Man, I'm just out to fun with y'all. I'm going to bed.
He was grabbing Jokic's arm, too. If you saw a couple of those rebounds, he was grabbing his arm, too, right? A couple of those situations.
Wow. Shout out to the HGH. He'll be fine.
See?
Good night, John.
I'm not going to sit here for this talk. I'm out.
Oh, Jake,
good night,
conspiracies. I can't do conspiracies.
All right, John.
We'll talk about conspiracy next week. Gentlemen, be good. See you guys on Tuesday.
Bye.
Deuces.
Hey, Joe.